good?
Yeah, just a bus isn't.
Shabbos Parshas Neach. It was the 6th of Cheshvan. Tav Shem Mem Zayin, which is the equivalent of fall 1986. The Maimer that we're going to learn today opens with a pasuk that's found in this week's Torah portion. Noach, the big hero of this week's narrative, gets a command from God. He gets many commands. But after he gets the command to build an ark, which was preceded by a whole slew of different commands of how to build the ark, Hashem says, and then Tzohar Tasalateva, you'll make a Tzohar for this ark, for this large floating device, this gigantic survival barge that you're going to build. So the Rebbe opens this Maimer by invoking the teachings of his Rebbe, his father-in-law, the Friedliche Rebbe, that were delivered during the course of Tishrei of 1946. And there's this idea of 40 years elapsing, and that after 44 decades of receiving a teaching, one comes to appreciate the full profundity, the full depth of it. And the Rebbe just mentions that in that Maimer, the Friedliche Rebbe quotes the commentaries of our sages, which is actually articulated by Rashi, with regard to the word Tzohar, that there are two different ways of looking at this. It's not a common word in the Hebrew language. It could be a window that would allow natural light in, or it could be it was a translucent stone that reflected or magnified the tiny bits of light, and in doing so became a luminary or a source of illumination. And the essential thrust, the opening thrust of that Maimer of the Friedliche Rebbe is, what is the meaning of Tzohar Tasa? You should make light, especially if it's a window. The point of the idea of make light is, it's not about you making light, God makes light. Let the light in is more like it. We don't create the light, we allow the light. And the Friedliche Rebbe really kind of explains this idea. What does it mean of Tzohar Tasa? Why do we emphasize the notion that we're supposed to create light when in fact light is something which is in the hands of God? Okay, this is like the opening volley of the Maimer. That's the first little paragraph of the Maimer. The point of this little paragraph is to emphasize, to emphasize the notion that this is a calling to action for us. We're supposed to make light. Don't just let the light in, make the light, create the light. Now the Maimer moves into a different place. The Rebbe says, V'hine yadua, it's well known, that there's a pirush from Moreinu HaBaal Shem Tov, which is brought in Chassidus in many places, including Ma'amarim of the Friedliche Rebbe, that Tevas Noach, that the ark, the proverbial floating craft of Noach, which is called a Teva in Hebrew, is also synonymous with Teva of Tefillah and Torah, with words of prayer and words of Torah study. And we actually talked about this previously in one of our classes this week. V'chein pidush ha-pasuk, and so the Baal Shem Tov went on to explain the verse that says, Boi ata v'chol beischa el ha-teva. Now God gives the command, you come into the teva. You bring your family into the teva. She'tzarech ha-odom lehachnis es atzmei. That a person has to bring himself into the tevas of Torah and Tefillah. You have to bring yourself into the words of Torah study, into the words of prayer. Ulehizdabek bahem. You have to cleave to these words. In other words, that the experience of prayer or the experience of the study of Torah should not simply be a superficial activity in which we're mouthing words or repeating words or even knowing words, but that you fully identify with the words. You immerse yourself in those words. And only when it's an immersive experience, only when it's something which becomes, in a sense, overwhelming, because you're in it, It has to engulf you fully, entirely. And only when you find yourself, if you will, totally surrounded by and totally embraced by and totally immersed by the profundity and the spirituality and the energy of those words, that's when you fulfilled your destiny, your mission, insofar as Bo'el HaTev is concerned. Now, in the brackets here, the Rebbe almost like troubleshoots. Who is Bo'el HaTev said to? Who's it said to? I mean, to Noah. Almost all of the commandments, all of the prophecies were said to Noah. So, if it was said to Noah, what's it to us? That is to say, Noah's not one of our patriarchs. Noah's not one of our heroes. We don't say there's a little Noah inside each and every one of us. There's a little Abraham, a little Isaac, a little Jacob, a little Sarah, Rebecca, a little Rachel and Leah. But not a little Noah. We don't say that. We're not called B'nai Noach. So how could you make a command that was given to Noach something that's relevant for all of us? So the Rebbe in the brackets kind of preempts this question, and he says that there is a very interesting maimer from the Rebbe Rashab. This is found in the famous Hemshech of Ayin Beis. That in that maimer, the Rebbe Rashab goes on to ask a question about the concept of proverbially reminding God. That's what we do on Rosh Hashanah. We say verses. There's verses of God's kingship, and in doing so, we call forth the desire, God's desire to rule over us, and then we recite verses of memory. And we're kind of like stimulating God's remembrance. And like the Rebbe Rashab talks about that there. And he said, what does that mean? It was stimulating God's memory. God forget. And he says God doesn't forget, but there's a certain level, an essential level of divinity, which nothing really matters. And it's that level of divinity that they're trying to stir by mentioning these verses, these Torah verses. And he specifically mentions, the Rebbe Rashab mentions specifically the verse that talks about Noach. V'gam b'noach, es noach ba'ahava zacharta. And he says that this is connected to etzem milas neshamas yisrael. This is connected to the essential and intrinsic quality, not of the mitzvahs we do, or the Torah we study, or the prayer we engage in, but that we are. That we are. The mila, the virtue of neshamas yisrael. The point of this bracketed comment, which is what we would call, I guess, a maimer hamuzger. It's not really the thrust of the maimer, it's almost like mentioning, but it's not, you know, only incidental. Because it makes the case for this maimer. The case for this maimer is made on the words, that the words of Noach have meaning for us. So that's clear that the words about Noach ultimately do reflect on who we are, as we can see from that maimer in the Rebbe Rashab. Okay. But going back to the thrust itself, the thrust itself was that we have a duty to immerse ourselves in words of Torah, and in words of tefillah, words of prayer and study. And that's the meaning of Bo'el HaTev. So the Rebbe links this to another famous Baal Shem Tevonian teaching, and that is that Tzohar Tasa LaTev. Well, before we get to the Baal Shem Tev teaching, let's go back to this pasuk we just talked about. Tzohar Tasa, you should make light for the Teva. Well, if indeed the Teva is not only the ark that Noah built, in which the animals were able to survive the great flood. But if the Teva ultimately represents the words of prayer and the words of study, of Torah study, so then how do you understand Tzohar Tasa LaTeva? You should light up what? The Torah? You should illuminate the Torah? Like, really? The Torah is light. Eich Shayach, says the Rebbe. How is it possible? Inyan Ha'asiyah B'Teva Satera. You're going to make the Torah right. Because you have to immerse yourself in those words. And here it says, Tzohar Tasa. So why don't you make a light for the Torah? Make a light for the prayer. The Rebbe says, Harei HaTorah Nitnu Kulo Milmaila. The Torah is given entirely from on high. As it says, Min HaShamayim Dibarti Imochem. God himself intones, I spoke to you from the heavens. Or, as we say in our prayers on Rosh Hashanah, not in the verses of memory, but in the verses of Shofarot, we say, Min hashamayim hishmatem koylecha. From the heavens we heard your voice. Vayedaber ha'elokim, God spoke, vayemer anochi ha'elokech, I am the Lord your God. In that case, the Torah comes from on high. The Torah is not chas v'shalom, the sum total of what humanity came around to realize. The Torah is given from a higher place. If the Torah is given from a higher place, Maui and Tzad, Sayer Tassalateva, then how could God make a command and say, hey, listen here, Yedilah, I want you to light up the Torah. I want you to make a luminary for the Torah. Hey, God, you want me to make a luminary for your Torah? Are you sure we got this right? Like something's not adding up here. Maui and Sayer Tassalateva, Shaha Adam, that the person, Ayedei Avedasei, he makes light in any which way you explain light, but he makes light in the Teva of Torah. So the Rebbe began by kind of invoking the teaching of the Friedrich Rebbe that the issue is the Tzoyer Tasa. We make light, God makes light. And the Friedrich Rebbe explains what it means over there, which says we make light. But that was kind of the point of departure. It's not the mimer, this mimer is not along the lines of that mimer at all. The Rebbe borrowed or leaned on that idea of we make light, God makes light. And he asked even a much more fundamental question. He said, if the Teva represents prayer, if the Teva represents study, then how do you understand Sora Tassel Teva? We make light for the Torah. And now the Rebbe goes into, as I mentioned prematurely, a Baal Shem Tevonian teaching about the Tzohar. The Rebbe says there is also a Piddush which is brought in Keser Shem Tev. And the words Tzohar Tassel Teva, you should make it Tzohar. The Baal Shem Tev said, the Inyan Tzohar Tassel Teva, that the Tzohar you should make, who should betchila haya gzardin. In the beginning, there was a terrible decree of genocide, Milmaila, that came from on high, which is the Inyan HaMabel, the concept of the Great Flood. Baal Zeh, and it was about this decree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Noach, Tzohar Tassel Teva. Your job is to make a Tzohar. What does it mean to make a Tzohar? Noach, your job, said God, is to turn the attribute of divine judgment into an expression of divine mercy. How so? What does that have to do with light up the Teva? It says the Baal Shem Tev, Nintzara Tzohar. Tzara means the narrow squeeze. Tzara means problems. Things which are disabling you. Things which are putting you in a difficult situation. Take the things which are unsavory. Take the things which cause you pain. Take the things which squeeze you and put you in a tight place. And turn that into a source of light.
Constraints.
Make the constraint spacious. Find spaciousness out of the constraint. From the squeeze, come to be spacious. make a tzohar out of a tzora. Mm-hmm. Pidush, this means that we learned in the Sefer Yetzirah. So now what are we playing, Scrabble? Tzohar, tzohar, tzora. Mm-hmm. No. This is very real. Because we learned in the Book of Formation that it makes this enigmatic statement. Beis avonim, boinis beis batim. Two stones, you can build two homes. Gimel avonim, three stones. Now you can build six homes. Who could build six homes out of three stones? Doesn't make any sense. But this is what they would call in another culture a kohen or a mystery. It's like a mysterious phrase. Figure it out. What does it mean? What does it mean is, when we then move on, it's understood that this notion of a home is actually a word. Because a word is a conjunction of letters that enables something to dwell. There's a content, there's an idea that's dwelling in the word. So if you just have letters, alphabet letters, whether the Hebrew or any other language, what you get is alphabet soup or alphabet cereal. It's just letters. But all of a sudden, if the letters come together to say something, they can convey something very, very powerful. It could be things like from, I love you, I need you, I want you. And those letters can sometimes change a person's life. Those few words have a world of difference. So in those letters, it's possible to convey a content, a message, a motif. And that's the meaning of it's a home. It's a home because something dwells in it. And the point then is, of course, two letters, let's use two Hebrew letters like Aleph and Beis. What can Aleph and Beis be? It could be alphabet soup, or it could be Av, Father. That's very meaningful. Or it could be Bo, come, come. Imagine a person wants to come somewhere his whole life, and he can never go. And one day he sees two Hebrew letters, and it says, Bo, come. Wow, wow, the thing you're waiting for, I can come. So these six letters of Tzadik, Resh, and Hey, actually have three letters, six words that can be made of them. Six different words. And these six different words, which are called six different homes, the Rebbe points out that we know what five of them say, and the sixth one is a mystery. We don't know what the sixth one is. So this is the point, is that one of the tzirufim, one way of making these Hebrew letters have a message, is by arranging tzaddik first, and then a resh, and then a hey, and that spells tzara. And another one is by arranging it into tzaddik hey resh, and that spells tzohar. A narrow squeeze or a source of illumination. And here's what the Baal Shem Tov said. Tachlis HaKavona, the ultimate purpose. In the end, what it's all about is lahafich, is transformation. What should I transform? I should transform tzara into tzohar. Now, l'fi pirush hanal, according to the interpretation earlier, that tevis noyach, that the teva, that the proverbial ark, refers actually to words of Torah, words of tefillah. Now we have to really understand this. What does that mean? Eichef sheli es inyan hatzara b'teira tefillah. Oh, we got a tzara in the prayer. We got a tzara in the Torah. You got a tzara in the Torah? The Torah is a source of angst. The Torah is the source of your pain. The Torah puts you in a difficult situation between a rock and a hard spot. You got to be kidding. It's Torah. Say, yeah, Torah's squeezing me, but I'm going to turn that Torah into something exciting, something exuberant and buoyant and upbeat. I'm going to make it into a tzohar. What are you talking about? Eich efsha, how is that possible? That you'd have a tzorah in the Torah, and it's the kind of tzorah that has to be transformed into a tzorah. So the Rebbe asked really two questions about the Baal Shem Tov's teaching. The first one is on the idea, he quoted the Baal Shem Tov's teaching that the teva, the boat, the box, the ark, is really referring to words. He said, what does it mean? You should make light for that. How do you make light for the Torah? And then he leaned further on the Baal Shem Tov's teaching, in which we have this notion of transformation of tzara into tzar. And he says, that would then indicate that there's a tzara in Torah. So you started off by saying there seems to be a lack of light in Torah. You're going to add light to the Torah. Huh? And now we're saying there's a deficiency in Torah. The Torah is broken. It's a tzara. And we're going to fix it. We're going to turn this Torah that's squeezing us into a Torah that's creating a spacious and broad place for self-expression and development. Something isn't adding up.
Immersing into the Torah.
Achabir. The explanation is like this, my friend. Dehine yedua, it is known. Dehagam shahatayra kula shmaisav slakaj baruchu. The whole Torah is God's name. Every word of the Torah is God's name. That's what Nachmanides Ramban says. So what does that mean? What does it mean the Torah is God's name? Say you're in a crowd and I'm trying to get your attention. How could I do it? Hey, you in the red shirt? How am I going to do it? You say, Moshe! And Moshe turns around. Say, I got you, Moshe. So when you call the name, you get a person's attention. You want to get God's attention, said Achmanis? Yeah, I'd love to get God's attention. Great. Then say his name. Okay, what's his name? You learned Torah, you just said his name. Every single word of Torah is a way to call to God. That's one way of understanding. And that comes from on high. V'chala Torah kula, hi kedusha b'kedushas emes chulo. The whole Torah is, it's apart, it's separate, it's sacred, it's holy. It's the truth. It's all these things. But here is the thing. Despite it being all these wondrous and amazing things, the Torah is also hamshachasa lamata is ba'ifin kazeh. It's being actualized in a lower world, in our world, is in such a way that it has medida v'agbala. The Torah is brought into this world in a limited fashion. She'ein arucha meretz mida. We say the Torah is not broader than the most spacious land. It's not rechava minyan. It is not broader than the widest sea. But ayidei avedas ha'adam b'lima da teira. When a person puts effort and toil into studying Torah, poyelim he'safa b'teira, then he adds a new development in Torah. Like it says in the Zohar la'afashala, to develop it, to broaden it. That is to say, the Torah at its root source comes from the highest of realities. But the Torah must be expressed in some way. When it's expressed in this way, it's in this way and not any other way. The Torah has to be conveyed in a particular vehicle. It needs a particular convention, an envelope that conveys a Torah concept. Now, our job is to take this idea we received in the envelope of whatever particular detail the Torah conveys this to, whether it's in halacha, or it's a pshat, whatever it might be. And our job is to be able to kind of take it out of its, unwrap it from the payload that delivered it, take it away from, take it beyond, see in it more than just the convention through which the idea was conveyed to you, and be able to read the deeper message in it. Be able to understand it in a deeper way. In other words, Torah comes to you in a limited fashion, and your job is to shake off the elements of limitation. Your job is to undo. God limited the Torah. Your job is to undo that limitation. Because Torah on high is endless, and it's infinite. But infinity has no way of making its way into a finite world unless it's delivered in a finite setting. So we got the Torah in a finite way, and our job is now to begin to appreciate the infinitude of his deeper message. And that's something that takes tremendous effort.
Capable of that?
We have to be capable of it, because Hashem expects us of it. He expects that of us, we must be capable of it. So this is the transformation of tzara into tzara. The shoresh tevas tzara, the root source of the word tzara, comes from two Hebrew letters, actually. Tzar, not with an ayin, not pain, but tzar, tzadik resh, which means eng in Yiddish, squeezed. Narrow. Makim tzaru mugbal, a limited, very, very narrow space. But through our efforts, mahapchem atzara, let's say we take this narrow space and we find within it tremendous spaciousness. Instead of the Torah being limited to the frame of its original delivery, able to take that in a way of removing those limitations. We're able to affect Shatiyah Ba'efen, the Tzohar, that its limitation should actually become a source of light. And do you know what light does? It spills everywhere. Light has no containment. Light doesn't fit into a shape. It's not a box or a square. It just continues to flow. That's the nature. It travels. Real light is Shemeir B'chol Mokim. The most powerful of light can never be contained. It will illuminate everything and everywhere. It has no limitations. What does it mean to make a tzor, to make a light for prayer, to make a light for Torah study? It means that tefillah mitzadatzmi and medidav agbala, the prayer in and of itself, is a limited experience. Like it's metaphorized, as it says in the Zohar, that the verse, the image that describes the vision of Yaakov, of a ladder rooted in the ground, whose head reaches into the heavens, and that means that the tefillah necessarily begins on the ground. And the ground represents limitation. And it reaches into the highest heavens, Shemaim. And Shemaim represents Merchava Amiti, the most incredible spaciousness. So, but that's what prayer is about. Prayer is about getting off the ground. Prayer is about getting past the limitations. In other words, all of life necessarily has to impose limitations on us. But those limitations have to become the catalyst for greater growth. Those limitations are the way we're able to get past limitations. It's like a person who gets an education. And the education is very specific. He's getting an education about something. He's learning about different things. And he can't be about everything, because then he doesn't know anything. He has to learn about something specific. But if you get a proper education, then you're able to understand everything. Because you learned about something, it develops your mind and gives you the ability then to apply this idea in a broader way so you can learn anything. But the education can't just be about everything, because that's not an education. So it has to be in a limited fashion, but our job is then to take that limitation through which it can be initially conveyed and to go past it, to transcend it. And now we understand the meaning of how we make light in the Teva. Because the Tefillah and the Torah in and of itself is limited. It has to be limited, otherwise you couldn't come to us. But don't remain with its limitation. When you study Torah properly, you can understand and appreciate it. It goes far beyond the limits of what it purports to represent to you. It's not just a halacha in the Gemara. Ultimately, it's an inspiration for life. It's a truism about existence itself.
So although the Teva represents Torah, as you said yesterday, okay, it's also a limitation. Teva's also a limitation.
Of course the Teva is a limitation. It's a box.
Right.
So the
but
point,
it's Torah.
The point is don't stay in the box. The Torah is a box. It's a squeeze, a box that it puts you in the squeeze on you. The challenge is to go from the squeeze to the spaciousness. But you have to be able to transcend the box. And the only way to transcend the box is get into the box. So you get into the box to be able to build out and develop the box. And that's the meaning of Megat Sohar, and that's the meaning of illuminating Torah, and illuminating Tefillah, and that's connected. This is all conveyed to us within the Baal Shem Tevonian teaching of take the squeeze, turn it into spacious. Tzora to Tzohar. And then the Rebbe goes on in this Maimer, and he says that not only is this an idea which is represented in Noach's Teva, but ultimately this goes back to Rosh Hashanah. We blew a shofar, and the shofar sound came out of the narrow side and brought us into the broad side. And the whole idea of shofar and Rosh Hashanah is to take from the limitation, the narrow beginning, and to bring it to a spacious end. And this is a process that repeats itself each and every single year in a whole new way. And because every year is a new energy, that's exactly why it has to begin that way, because that's the way all things express themselves in this world. It always goes from a small moment from the beginning into something spacious. And this applies this to life in general and to the concept of Torah in general and how God looks into Torah, because he looks into Torah, because it's like this in Torah, it's like this in the world. And ultimately, this becomes advice for how to live life in the fullest sense. And then the Rebbe talks about two different kinds, two directional kind of Tzora and Tzor, and finishes off with this leading us into the journeys of Avraham Avinu and the coming of Mashiach speedily. And in our days, amen. Thank you for joining us all week. And Hashem should help us. We should get out of the Tzara and go into the Tzohar and merit to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu and have the most spacious and broad and liberating reality that anybody could ever imagine and beyond. Then Hera will be amenu. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.